Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you today. I thought yesterday we were not going to do a live broadcast, but after watching the rally last night of President Trump in Minneapolis, Minnesota, I decided to come back on the air this morning. We were going to be gathering together for a Council of the Lord meeting that we have every other Friday, I think. And because of the feast, we decided to let that go. And last night, I was watching the rally in Minnesota, Minneapolis, and I was listening, not to the whole thing, but I heard some pretty powerful points, and I heard the President of the United States saying some pretty intense things. And then, lo and behold, right after the viewing of the rally, they showed what was once at one point over 1,000 people that were gathered in the streets protesting in front of the very center where the president had been speaking. And by the time we were seeing the views on the news, there were hundreds of people that were throwing bottles at the police, at their horses. There were some confrontations, there were some burning of hats, and things got a little bit violent, a little bit ugly, you know, a little preview of what's going on in the world today and in our country in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It was a very raw Donald Trump, President of the United States, speech. One of the reasons why I think a lot of people voted for the president is he was willing to say what other people thought but would never say because it wasn't politically correct. And so we just witnessed the division. The line in the sand got even deeper last night. And he went directly after Ilhan Omar, and he went for it. And he went after Joe Biden, and he said things that were pretty tough for a lot of people whose skin isn't that tough yet. And even if you had really tough skin, you would think, you know, that's not the best language in the world to use. However, he went on the provocative end of things. The president of the United States of America saying that Joe Biden, the only thing that made him a decent VP is he learned how to kiss Barack Obama's you-know-what. He said it on the air. He was disgusted with Ilhan Omar and the Somalian refugees in Minnesota. I'm telling you, it was very provocative. And if that's a foreshadowing of where things are going, absolutely amazing. And then, of course, he talked about the forces pulling out of Syria. And we know Syria is a major biblical prophetic sign to the last days. Also, yet last night, as we gathered together, for a little Bible study, had opportunity to listen to an article from The Blaze with Glenn Beck, where he and his reporters reported a pro-abortion group descended on a pro-life gathering. There was a pro-life gathering, and the pro-abortion group grew, surrounded them, spit on them, and began to say the grotesque things such as, we eat baby lungs for breakfast, that they were saying, hail Satan, the aggravation, the anger, the frustration that's going on in people that one day are going to wake up from this delusion. God willing, one day will wake up from the delusion. God forbid these people die in the condition that their hearts are in right now, because it's not good to be hailing Satan. You know, the absurdities, you know, it's just, it's a nightmare. And to see the police last night back to the rally, again, is a sign of the times that we are in. You know, it flashed through my mind, that prophecy in Amos chapter 8, that by the time, you know, we get to the feast of the Lord, the Feast of Tabernacles, the only feast that are after summer, there'd be many dead bodies in many places. And we would see this Amos 8 prophecy. And I thought, my God, this is so close. You know, and I'm going to stop right there and refrain from saying some other things that prophetically, spiritually, I think everybody would be well aware of. We're not out of the mucky waters yet. And if anything, what we did see in 2019 was the summer of violence with the shootings in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio, and a whole host of other events. But I believe that this is not going to calm down. I believe that it's going to get amped up. It's going to get intense. And you and I need to know what to be doing right now. I want to, and I have some scripture I want to share with you. All right. I want to just get into 1 Peter chapter 5. And I was thinking to myself on this Friday, as we have friends flying in the air right now across the world to be in Northwest Arkansas for the Feast of Tabernacles. We had friends that flew in last night, and we had a major storm last night. Our temperature dropped about 25 degrees from where we've been, and this morning we're in the upper 30s. And so we've had friends coming in for the conference, but now everything's getting better. The temperature's getting higher again. I guess it was a blast from North Dakota that went to South Dakota that brought nearly 3 feet of snow. Winter has come in with a roar. It really has. We went from summer basically right into some winter temperatures right now, and it's going to fluctuate, so we're happy about that. But we're getting ready to gather together to celebrate the great Feast of Tabernacles. Met with Dr. Bush yesterday and his wife Carolyn. They're both going to be speaking at the conference. Pastor Tony Nichols will be speaking. Apostle Todd Murner will be speaking. Patricia Joy will be speaking. I'll be speaking. Pastor Ken Maddox will be speaking. And of course, our dear brother Daniel Seckham will be speaking at the conference. Pastor Ken Wagner will be speaking. Prophet Michael Villarin will be speaking. And we've got a few surprises on the side of individuals that will be speaking to the congregation. But the Feast of Tabernacles is more than just coming to hear speakers. It's also what's going to happen in between all of that with the fellowship and the breaking of bread. But I thought I wanted to share this with you, because this is what I heard as I'm reading today out of 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. I thought this was apropos for what we're doing in the midst of the crises. And remember, everything about God's economy is always an opportunity in the midst of a crisis. If you are in a crisis, I guarantee you there's an opportunity for God to do something great in the midst of that crisis. Okay, so I want you to be encouraged, and hear what it says. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. So here's an exhortation to the elders, to the pastors of the flock of God, right? He says, not only was he an elder, but Peter said that he was also a witness of the sufferings of Christ. He literally beheld the sufferings of Christ during his passion on the cross, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. In other words, Peter was saying, you know, I've partaken of the glory that's to come. I touched him. I beheld him. I was with him. I saw the glory. So he's not just talking to people that are operating by faith. He's talking about himself, that he had already partaken of that glory that shall be revealed. And here was the message to those elders: feed the flock of God. Now listen to this. When we came into the year 2019, back in the last day of December, we always gather for a New Year's Eve gathering in the Gregorian calendar. And the theme was feed the flock of God. And the theme was guard the flock from the wolves. It was about the wolves, and it was about feeding the flock of God. Now, what I find to be very awesome right now about this moment in the Feast of Tabernacles, as we have been diligently desiring and seeking the very best we can to feed the flock of God locally right here in Northwest Arkansas, and then on radio and in the AM/FM radio and on this internet radio station and other platforms to feed the flock of God. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe there's going to be a greater feeding than during this Feast of Tabernacles. The banqueting table is spread. And yes, in the midst of chaos and crises and confusion, I'm telling you, the people of New Wine Ministry gathered together and they have prepared something for this Feast of Tabernacles. And I just know that God is going to be here. I know that God's kabod, God's presence, God's glory is going to be in this Feast of Tabernacles. And the omnipresence of God affords and allows God to be everywhere at the same time. He's an amazing almighty God, and he is going to be here. And everybody that's coming, everybody that's participating, everybody that's touching the feast of the Lord, I expect that the great shepherd is going to do some awesome impartation and anointing for encouragement, strategy, edification, building up, and preparation. Because you just kind of have that feel that we are in something. It's like we're in this Goshen while the Egyptian Empire is going through its demise, through its collapse. We are in a Goshen. And I do believe wherever the Feast of Tabernacles is being celebrated by the leading of the Holy Spirit among people whose hearts are right before God, that represents a kind of Goshen, and yet the Egyptian Empire is being, you know, it's getting whacked. And around us, we're sensing that and feeling that. So beyond this Feast of Tabernacles, I believe God is going to strategically position, God is going to strategically move your life, and he's going to equip you and download you with the resources necessary and the wisdom for his purpose in your life to go forward. You don't want to be whimsically moving around right now. You don't want to be just a cloud driven by the wind. And you definitely don't want to be an empty cloud without water. You want to get filled up. You want to be edified. You want to be strategized. In other words, equipped with instruction and direction of what God wants to do in your life and where you're supposed to be. And I believe when Peter wrote this, it just stuck out. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And let me say this to the workers that have been preparing and the hosting. They have poured in not only their energy, their time, but their finances as well. They have spent thousands of dollars getting the tents, getting the roads prepared, getting the property prepared. They have been working. You're going to see excellence when you come up to this Feast of Tabernacles in Northwest Arkansas. And I just want to say thank God for the people that have poured everything they have, and may the Lord richly bless them. They've been cleaning warehouses. They've been cleaning toilets. They've been cleaning. They've been mowing. They've been vacuuming. They've been scrubbing floors, cleaning offices with vinegar. I mean, they just went the extra mile. They've been purchasing the mums and the flowers and the hay. And I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal, folks. And I just thank God for the people that are doing this. And it's always been that way. 30 years we've been hosting the Feast of Tabernacles, and it's all about doing it as unto the Lord. Everything is as unto the Lord, and God will repay. Watch what he says to the elders that feed the flock of God. Here's what he says. He says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, God forbid, we're not the lords over God's heritage, we're servants, but being examples, or show a pattern of life, show the body of Christ how they are to conduct themselves by your lifestyle. And then he said, being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Now, Patricia and I were talking this morning about these verses, and she said, you know, I keep hearing about crowns. And I was amazed when she said that, because when I walked into our warehouse, where we're going to be gathering Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday under the tent and having lunches and fellowship and breaking of bread, the ladies had put two crowns on top of a, I forget what they call it now, but people got married under it. It's beautiful. And they put two crowns there, and for the crown of the bride and the crown of the bridegroom, my goodness. Well, there's a crown of glory that fades not away that is going to be given to the elders who feed the flock of God in this life, not looking for reward, not doing it for filthy lucre, by constraint, or being lords over God's heritage, just to faithfully feed the flock of God. And when Jesus appears, you're going to get a crown of glory that shall not fade away. It's unfortunate that a lot of ministers today are getting all their rewards now. I have to believe that the rewards at the coming of the Lord Jesus, that crown of glory that will not fade away, is going to be greater than anything that this world could have ever given. So let's be faithful as ministers of God. Now, we're feeding the flock of God, right? But now I want to encourage you, look at verse 5. Here's the attitude. You ready? This is the attitude that the body of Yeshua, we need to be working in. And I know it's a process. I know it's a working out, but here it is. Likewise. So he's talking first to the elders. Now he's saying, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Everybody, be subject one to another. That's God's heart. Whether you're going to the Feast of Tabernacles, going to church on a Sunday, Saturday, whatever, it's always about community, subjecting ourselves to one another. In other words, lifting others up higher than ourselves. This is the pattern. Younger ones, subject yourselves to the elders, submit to them. But then Peter goes right in and says, everybody, subject yourselves one to another. And be what? And I love this. I love this. And be clothed with humility. Watch this. For God resists the proud. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And gives grace to the humble. I want God's grace. Do you want God's grace? I want God's grace. I want to be clothed with humility, so that I can be clothed with the grace of God, and so do you. So he says, subject one to another, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now that ties into the Feast of Atonement, and in about 2 hours, I'm going to have something on Omega Radio that I preached on Wednesday at Kerm Radio about the atonement. And this really plays into it, because that Feast of Atonement was all about humility and coming down and condescending and humbling ourselves, because that was the highest holy day. And I know you did, and we'll get into that. So he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God will exalt you. He has not forgotten you. He has not forsaken you. He is not a respecter of persons. Elders have to subject themselves to the younger, just like everybody is supposed to be doing. We are all called to be clothed with humility. God will resist us if we are proud, but he will grace us with an ornament of grace, which looks good on anybody. God's grace will make anybody look good. Believe me. And so he resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble, and then listen to this. He's going to exalt you in due time, and that due time is the kairos, a set time. God knows the advancement of your life. He knows everything that you're going to do today, tomorrow, next week. He knows. And on his calendar, he knows the day that he's going to raise you up, because you are purposefully humbling yourself and allowing humility, especially among the body of Christ, to go forth, because it's beautiful. When you meet a group of people that are humble, when we meet a group of people that have clothed of humility, subjected to one another, caring for one another, serving. It's powerful. It just simply is. Now watch this. Not only will he exalt you in due time, but he said, this is what you do. This is what we do. We have permission to do this. Casting all your care. What are you concerned about today? What are your cares? Remember, Jesus warned about the cares of this world, that they would choke the seed. They would choke the life out of us, right? So the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, what are you caring about? What are you anxious about? What are you nervous about? What are you heavy about? Well, here's what he says to do. He said, casting all your care, not some of it, all of it, upon him, for he cares for you. And that struck a chord with me, because going back to Deuteronomy, when the people were called to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, they had to leave their land, their home. They were taking, you know, the offerings with them. They were going up to the feast. They had to leave their cattle behind, whatever they had, and they were concerned about it. So God told Moses to tell the people, when they go up to celebrate my feast, tell them not to worry about what they're leaving behind. I will set a hedge around it. I will protect what is theirs. And when they go out to honor me, I will make sure that everything they have will be taken care of. So don't get so caught up in the cares of this world or those things. Entrust them to God. Cast those cares upon God. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your job. Listen, the Feast of Tabernacles is about the ultimate coming out of the world system into the kingdom and to celebrate the King of Glory, right? So this is excellent information, but watch this now. This is where it got really, really amazing. We get to be burden-free here, folks. We get to cast our cares upon Jesus. He cares for us. He's going to watch over us. We're going out to meet him. We're clothed with humility. We're subjecting to one another. We're coming to be fed, and we're coming to feed. Hallelujah. And then he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So what an amazing thing that Peter's talking to a community of believers about their conduct, that don't worry, but to stay vigilant. And when you see what's going on in this world, when we watch, we are to remain sober, and yet we are to feast and to celebrate and to be cheerful and rejoice. There's no doubt about that. But even in that, we are called to be sober, to be vigilant, because we do have an adversary. He is the devil, and he does roar about like a lion seeking someone to devour. Now, we're told in verse 9, whom resist him steadfast in the faith. So let your faith be strong to resist any encroachment, any approach of the devil. In fact, pull out your sword and take his head off if you happen to see him around. Seriously, you have the right to do that in all humility. So here we go. Here we go. Knowing, here's what you're to know. You're to know something. If you're being harassed, you're being vexed, the enemy's trying to come against your life, know this, that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Whatever your afflictions are, whatever you're going through, you know, we would like to think today that the Feast of Tabernacles, as we come up, and I know God's presence is going to break yokes. I know what he's going to do. I've seen him do it for 30 years. It's his feast. The people have honored him. Now it's just time to come together. But I know that people come up burdened. I know they come up with a lot of stuff in their lives that they've had to deal with for whatever, however long. And I know the enemy tries to afflict people, puts thoughts in their mind, don't go, or tries to bring division, criticism. I know we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We're very aware that Satan hates the elect of God. And we are very aware that Satan is a cruel taskmaster, that he is a liar, that he is the father of lies. We are not ignorant of Satan trying to divide through gossip, through slander, through whispering, through backbiting. We're not ignorant that he wants to destroy. And we've seen him do this by hailing saints into prison or throwing them into the lion's den or into the fiery furnace. We know the abstract hatred. We see it on that article when the pro-abortionists were spitting on the people that were advocating. That was a Catholic group, by the way. The pro-life group was a Catholic charity that was there, but they love Jesus. They did it for Jesus. Pro-life. They were defending life. But you see the ugliness. You saw the ugliness last night in Minneapolis. And you're going to see a lot more ugly, right? So we're not ignorant of that. We're not ignorant. But we've got to make our way to the feast. And as we make our way into these environments that have been cultivated by the Spirit of God and through the anointing on people's lives to do, you know, God puts it in people's thoughts to do things. God puts it in people's hearts and minds to get things done. And God's people, when we do it joyfully as unto the Lord, the benefits are eternal. That's all I know. That's all I know about God's word. They're eternal. But our brethren, what you need to know, what I need to know, the body of Christ, like the Kurdish Christians right now in Syria, already 7 innocent people were murdered, right? Because we're American forces pulling out. Our brethren around the world are undergoing the same affliction that you may be going through. Some may be going through a lot more affliction than what we are going through. So why is Peter telling us that? So we would take heart, not get subdued and immersed in our trouble, but rather cast that trouble on the Lord, go out, meet the Lord, honor the Lord, bring the Lord your worship, bring the Lord your praise, come together with his people. It's his plan, not our plan. And let's see what happens. Now, listen to this promise. Are you ready for this? If you're afflicted, listen to this promise. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. We've been called to eternal glory. This life is a moment. It's a vapor. It's almost over for some of us, right? And whether we live or whether we die, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming in due season. I know we've got to go through some stuff, but watch this. We've been called to eternal glory. And then he said, after that you have suffered a while. How many of you know if we're going to be born again Christians, our mettle has to be tested. Our faith has to be tested to make sure it's genuine. But after we have suffered a little, just a little, he's going to make you perfect. He's going to establish you, strengthen you, settle you. And then Peter ends by saying, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I wanted to encourage you with these words today from the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5. It's a short chapter. There's so much wealth in it. There's so much richness in it. We're coming up. And the adversary may be resisting you. Don't let him resist you. You're going up to the feast, but you're recognizing, man, my finances aren't in order. I'm not feeling too well. You know, I've got this angst towards somebody, or I've got something in my heart that's bothering me. I feel agitated. Listen, that's the devil resisting your life. So withstand him. In the faith, resist him. Resist the devil and he will flee. The devil will put thoughts in your mind, fear, worry, a suspicion, all kinds of things. He does in the atmosphere, but you and I must put on the mind of Christ. We must put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt buckle of truth, our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We must take up the shield of faith to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one and take out the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We must be praying and we must be led by the Holy Spirit. Father God is preparing an environment for you. Now, if you go to church, quote unquote, I know you are the church, you're the ecclesia, but if you go to a gathering once a week and you have a pastor and you do that, every time you gather together should be a feasting time. Come together and feed off the word of God, right? Come together in fellowship and break bread with the body of Christ. Have communion, a common union. We're going to be serving communion, by the way, almost every day during the Feast of Tabernacles. It's time for the body to really feed on the good word of God and to have this kind of communion service. So, again, get through the devil's desire or attempt to hold you back. When the devil comes and say, oh, you can't really go up and give God worship and praise because he's accusing you, condemning you, putting shame on you. Remember the Day of Atonement that we just celebrated 2 days ago, that your sins have been emancipated. They have been taken away, obliterated, eradicated. You can stand up and say to all the powers of darkness, according to your faith, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. I will give my worship. I will give my praise. I will bring my offering, my life to the Lord. I will come to God to honor him because he wants me to have a feast with many other tabernacles. Patricia Joy Xavier, good morning to you, dear lady. I'm excited. Today will be our last broadcast for at least 8 days or maybe 10 days before coming back on the airwaves. And I just wanted to say a proper goodbye to everybody. Let me shift the screen to my beloved wife, Patricia. You've been listening to the broadcast today. How are you? Say hello to everybody.
I am doing very well. And we have one more day to get it right. And that's the most exciting part of it all, because the word of God tells us that the King of Glory is on his way. He is coming back. And this is what we are drawing in through the Feast of Tabernacles by our worship and praise and wanting him to come. You know, honey, the bride of Christ cries out, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it should be. And we shouldn't be afraid of anything. And God has given us a new and proper way. But I want to bring up what is happening to make this reality of the coming of the Lord. I remember quite well about around 1974, my late husband and I went to a church. And in that church, there was a man that kept coming out to meet us and greet us and tell us that this is going to be the most incredible time that has ever been if you watch Syria. Now, he said then, this is in 1974, he said, watch Syria. And when Syria comes forth, and everything surrounds her as it did once before, ages back in iniquity. He said, come forth and you will see the coming of the Lord. It will be that beginning time. Well, the news today is fulfilled that. And what has been said is that the Hebrew prophet Ezekiel wrote 2,500 years ago, that in the last days of history, Russia and Iran will form a military alliance to attack Israel from the north. Bible scholars refer to this eschatological conflict described in Ezekiel 38 and 39 as the War of Gog and Magog. He added, are these sudden and dramatic moves by Moscow and Tehran simply coincidental, or do they have prophetic implications? Well, I know they have prophetic implications because the Lord had summoned me about 20 years ago to truly study Ezekiel 38 and 39. And it was at that moment in time that I realized that that man that was trying to convince us of Syria was crying out from the Father's heart for us. We are now here. It is happening. It's a reality. So what does that mean for you and I? That means that the fulfillment of prophecy has come and that the King of Glory is on his way for his body, his church, his loved ones. And when we gather together at the Feast of Tabernacles, we will be representing that very thing that is ready to take place. And this is why it's going to be so exciting. And I want you to know that the love of God will just usher us together in such a manner, in such a way that we will never have that much excitement until the reality comes. Body of Christ, this is the time. Rejoice. And there's only another thing to consider. I've been hearing a lot of scoffing because of the things that are going on in this nation right now about the Bible, that the Bible is a fairy tale. A fairy tale? Huh. It was prophesied 2,300 years ago of what is taking place right now, and it has been that way even the coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. And it is so far away from being anything other than truth. And you know what? You need to stand up. It's time to tell it all.
Well, amen. Patricia, I remember that you, many years, 25 years ago, my wife, Patricia, she did a study on the Ezekiel chapter 38, and you put together every nation mentioned. And then when you stop and think about the sixth trumpet in the book of Revelation, that is a war that takes like a third of the population on the earth. There are some amazing things coming down the pike. We're going to continue to kind of navigate through them. But my encouragement to the body of Christ today is I hope you're hungry. And you know, the Bible says, Jesus said that those who are hungry are going to be fed, and those who are thirsty are going to have drink. Those who hunger for righteousness, hunger for holiness. Is there a divine spiritual hunger in your heart? Are you wanting to get something more substantial in your walk with God? Have you been walking along and you just kind of feel emptied out? You just kind of feel like you're going through the motions, like you've exhausted every resource that you know, and your Christianity and your faith and you walk with the supernatural Almighty God is just kind of, you know, maybe getting tepid, maybe getting a little bit, you know, it's time to get fed. I hope you're hungry. I hope that God has allowed you to go through a season of suffering, because he says that afterward, I'm going to make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you. I mean, the benefits of going through a moment of suffering, it's like learning how to fast, and the reason why we fast, the reason why we pray. Folks, this is the greatest time to be alive on this earth. I really believe that we are in the book of Revelation, and I really do believe that there is violence coming on the earth like in the days of Noah. And Jesus said it'll be like the days of Noah. The whole earth was filled with violence, and I see that violence rising. I see every prophetic, biblical sign manifesting all around this world through modern technology, Israel becoming a nation, et cetera, et cetera. But I've got news for you. We've learned a lot. We've heard a lot. We're preparing a lot. But God has saved a reserve. He said, I'm saving the best wine for the end time. I'm saving the best. I've got a reserve that I'm going to go down into my cellar, so to speak, and I'm going to bring out the best, and it's going to do something to the people that drink it. It's going to bring transformation, revelation. Oh, my goodness gracious. And I want you to know that God is going to meet you as you continue to press on towards him in a new and living way. Patricia, I'm excited, and I'm hoping that people are very hungry, very thirsty, because the one that can fulfill is there to do it. Speak into that.
Well, again, I want to bring up Syria, because it is the thrust of the prophetic being totally and completely fulfilled right where we are right now at this time. You were born for a time such as this. So you need to understand and realize what this means. This is a word about those who believe Syria will play a role in the end time scenarios. In Isaiah 17, 1 through 3 is the cornerstone of this whole situation. It says, see, Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruins. The cities of Aror will be deserted and left to flocks, which will lie down with no one to make them afraid. The fortified city will disappear from Ephraim, and the royal power from Damascus. The remnant of Aram will be like the glory of the Israelites, declares the Lord Almighty. What does that mean? It's coming to the time of God coming and glorifying his prophetic promises, making them known to the world, and revealing the truth of his kingdom. It is time. It is so incredibly his time, but it is also your time, a time to understand the works of the Lord within your life. Get that understanding. Come and be with us at the Feast of Tabernacles. You're going to hear speakers that are absolutely profound in this moment, more than anything you're listening to on programming of TV or the internet. You are going to be so excited of what God is going to show you that you'll never be the same, and you'll be prepared for a time such as this.
Well, amen to that. And Patricia, what I'm hearing you say about these profound speakers that are coming, what makes them profound is their faithfulness. What I discovered, what Patricia discovered when we invited them to come and be a part of this, is that they are faithful with their own labor in the Lord. They are faithful with their own flock. None of them have surrendered the meat of the gospel just so they could have a big crowd. They have been willing to condescend. They've been willing to go low and to just be faithful with what God has given them. And I believe that they do have a special anointing, and there will be a special word. Folks, you're about to step into an environment where men and women of God are studying. My wife has been studying for 3 or 4 days already. She's been giving up Bible studies just to be able to stay home and get her message that she's going to be sharing under the tent. We've got a woman coming that just went through full-blown cancer with a victory report that's connected to Tabernacles. Some of you aren't even sure yet what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about. Sunday night, I'm going to be explaining that whole thing from the beginning of Genesis to the book of Revelation and show you what it looks like. And then Monday night, Daniel Seckham is going to be hitting one out of the park. And then Tuesday night, Carolyn Buss is going to be speaking. And then Wednesday night, Scott Buss will be speaking. And then Thursday night, Pastor Tony Nichols will be speaking. And then Friday night, Pastor Ken Maddox will be speaking. And then Saturday night, Apostle Todd Murner will be speaking. And then Sunday night, I think I'll be there again. But that's only the night. But every day, Prophet Michael Villarin, Pastor Ken Wagner, Daniel Seckham again, Patricia Joy Xavier. And then again, the special things that we're going to be doing, you know, when we gather together in the morning and we have our time of worship. Very simple, but again, it's about Jesus being in the midst of what we're doing. We wish you, wherever you are, if you're not able to make it, we wish that you would find a place for the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you can't, then get on a bus, put your thumb out, hitchhike, get in a car, get on a plane, train, automobile, whatever. Get here. Be a part of what God is doing. Step into an environment that I believe you're going to say, this is a little bit different. It's not strobe lights. It's not smoke and mirrors. It's not the fantastic. It's hungry hearts gathering together to honor the King of Glory. Patricia.
Again, it was said a number of times that the Feast of Passover has been fulfilled, and that was in Jesus Christ. The Feast of Pentecost has been fulfilled, and that is the filling of the Holy Spirit in the days when the apostles were in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came upon them for mankind till this very day. But there is one feast that has not yet been fulfilled, that's crying out to be fulfilled, and it is the Feast of Tabernacles. And that feast will be ushering in the millennium, because in the millennium, in which it was programmed to be a type and shadow of, will be the most glorious time this earth has ever known. And righteousness, faithfulness, and truth will finally be established without any contradiction. And oh, what a time that is. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the fulfillment of your own life, which is so absolutely necessary to know in these days that we're in. And there will be words of utterance and prophecy for you personally. So come forth and receive. It's going to be such a joyous time, as was always when the type and shadow of the Feast of Tabernacles was celebrated. Come and join us.
Amen. And Patricia, one of the things we haven't mentioned yet is I just got this text message that our friend Wayne Warmack is celebrating his 75th birthday. But who is Wayne? Wayne plays the harp, the trumpet. We are going to have musicians that play the piano, the violin, the harp, the big, huge bass. I forget what that one is called.
What does that sound?
The cello.
Yes.
There's going to be such an extravagant combination of worship from, you know, hallelujah, jump up and down. I'm sure, you know, there, Pastor Ken, he's got his worship team. They just get into this extravagant worship as well. But Drs. Carolyn and Scott Buss and Sandy Wormack, Wayne Wormack, and some other folks will be joining together. Peggy Wagner, Pastor Peggy, she plays the piano. Gary Jennings, they've been traveling all over the world. He and his wife, Rosalie, before she passed away. They were in Nashville. They were cut records. I mean, and these are just humble people coming together, bringing their gift. Yeah, they're going to be...
They're God's... He's filled them with his Holy Spirit, including Pastor Ken Wagner and including Pastor Michael. And
they're going to let it rip.
Dillerin. I mean, they are going to do that. And when they're on radio, they do that very thing. And it's going to be even more so because they won't have to hold back on anything. Can you imagine?
I can. And you know what's interesting? There are people... You know, what I love about these conferences is that there's really not any particular name. There's one name that we exalt, and his name is Jesus.
Yes, sure.
And all of us, we just give praise to his name. And yet there are people among us, you don't know their name. You don't know who they are. They don't have much. They're simple servants of God that take everything they do have to present it to the Lord. They get things ready. They clean things up. We've got friends that do all kinds of great stuff out there. Patricia, this...
But they're also empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Well, you got it. You got it. I was going to go there.
Okay.
You beat
me
to it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I want to... They got more treasure than anybody because of the Holy Ghost. Right.
They're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they're not afraid of the times we're in whatsoever.
No.
And any evil spirits wanting to mess with them, I'll tell you what, Satan will have to give a wide berth around them because the power of God moves in them so incredibly.
Amen. Hey, we've been doing a lot of talking, and I just looked, it's 9:46. Maybe you're out there and you would like to share something, and we're going to receive your call right now. And again, this is our last time on the air until not this coming Monday, but the following Monday. So we're about 10 days out before we're going to be back on the air doing anything. However, every morning at 9 o'clock, you should check into omegaradio.org because we're going to put something special from Sunday night. We'll put on what we did. And then on Tuesday morning, we'll put what we did Monday night, the different speakers. So we're going to do our best. And you just need to remember omegaradio.org. It broadcasts 24/7, but every morning at 9, we're going to have something out there. And who knows? Maybe some special treats along the way. But if you have a question or comment, something you'd like to share right now, that's why we're on Blog Talk Radio. The number to call is 818-369-0326. We'd love to have you call in, share whatever God is stirring and bubbling up in your spirit, and to impart it over the airwaves. So we'll wait for your call. And if you are already called in at 818-369-0326, press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll make sure to bring you directly into the broadcast, okay? So 818-369-0326, and we do have our first call coming in. Let's see. This looks like our friends that have been driving away from a big storm out there. Good morning, 605.
Yes. Well, concerning the storm, it has gone another direction, so we're in very good shape. The roads are very good, and Sioux Falls is where we left from. And they did have sort of a dusting of snow, but the impact of it isn't going to be there. But I have some very sad news to say. Henry Groover, who was a man of God, he passed away. He went home to be with the Lord. So we need to really keep the Groover family in prayer.
Well,
in which we will. But I know Groover, he's having a ball. Are you kidding? That man has been so involved with the work of God all over the world in prophetic utterance and ministry. One of the most amazing ministers ever. And I know that he's got a crown right now. And he is meeting everyone of importance in that. I mean, everyone is important, but I'm talking about those 12 established apostles and even, you know, the tribes of Israel, all that, the Elijah and Moses. He's having a great wonderful time. And we're going to see him very soon, but we will keep the family in prayer. Lord, give them strength to continue in the way, because they are precious. They have done without him so many times when he did the work of God. And just bless their hearts. Let them know that you are with them every inch of the way, and that you will give them even a greater move of your spirit now than ever before for their protection and care. Thank you. Thank you,
Lord. Yes. You know, Kathy, thanks for sharing that information with us. We appreciate it. And I remember a few things about this watchman, Henry Groover. He was the first person, Patricia, that you and I think we were driving somewhere in Arizona, I think it was, and somebody had told us, this was over 24 years ago, and somebody had told us about this man who had a vision of nuclear submarines that are on the coast of the United States. And we started listening at that time and getting our education from men like him. And I believe that his vision is for an appointed time. 25 years ago is like 25 seconds ago in God's
right
economy. Yeah. And so everything you were talking about, Ezekiel 38, but greater than the visions or the dreams that Henry had, he walked through the nations. Japan was one of his major areas of prayer walking, one of the toughest places on earth to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there was a movie called Silence, I think it was, that was just powerful, showing some of the hardness in that area. But Henry would walk and pray and intercede. Dear friends with Steve Quayle and that company of believers that are running, doing what they're called to do. So again, Kathy, thanks for letting us know about that. We're
glad Kathy is safe and Ken. We're so grateful that everything is okay. We were concerned about you. We were praying for your absolute protection on your way to the great Feast of Tabernacles.
Woohoo! Amen.
Yes.
We're glad you're coming.
Yes, it is. Okay. We plan to be there in a day or so, but thank you for the prayers, and we'll see you.
You got them. God bless you. All right. Thanks, Kathy. Yep. Kathy and Ken making their way from South Dakota once again. How about you? 818-369-0326. Is there anything on your heart you would like to share at this time? We'll be looking forward to your call. Just press 1 on the dial pad. And Patricia, as we begin to wind down, we've got about 10 minutes left on the broadcast.
And I just want to encourage all of you that are listening right now not to be afraid to call in. There's nothing to be concerned about. In fact, you'll get great joy from it, because you'll feel the release of the Holy Spirit, of what the Holy Spirit's been talking to you about, and you would like to bring it forth, but you're hesitant. Don't be hesitant. Come on, just get on the phone and call.
Amen. And you know, while we have this moment, I want to just
one.
Dial one. You have to press 1 on the dial pad to come in. I want to say thank you to a few people that have been giving some donations. Our dear friend in California, Pam, I'll leave her first name there. God bless you. Kurt, I believe our dear friend from Michigan, would love to see him and his family come on down for the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know if that's possible or not. I want to thank God for Don, as another person that from Michigan area that sows into this ministry faithfully for years. I want to thank God for him. And I want to thank God for the couple once again that made this possible by purchasing the computer that we've been using nonstop. It just doesn't turn off 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thank you for that. I want to thank God for everybody that put their hand to the plow to make this last year what it is, just the ability to move forward and to broadcast. And I just thank God for everybody that touches the ministry, touches the work. Thank you for your donations. Thank you for giving at times. Dear brother of mine, at the very beginning, offered a $1,000 offering when we were just starting to kick things off. God bless him. He knows who he is. I just want to thank people for touching this work. And hopefully it has been a mechanism or a tool of equipping, both in information, what's going on in the world, and looking through the biblical lens at the signs of the times and interpreting where we are in time. And thank you for being patient with us as we are growing and learning how to do all these things. Patricia, it's been an amazing run for us. But again, we're waiting for your call. You see, we have Blog Talk Radio up because we want to hear the voice of many waters. So give us a call right now, 818-369-0326. press 1 on your dial pad. If you're listening right now, press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into the broadcast so we can hear your beautiful voice. We're waiting for you.
And I want to thank Jane also, who has become part of a giving help. When you give to this ministry, you're helping people from all over the world to hear the gospel in which the way God called us to minister. And it is a beautiful way to touch hearts when you can't get out there on the mission field any other way. God has brought this provision. God has given us this ability to do so. And I'm thankful to you, Jane, for coming forth and blessing us monthly. God is so good, and I know He is going to bless you abundantly for your love and your care for this program and for Vincent and I. Thank you.
Well, amen. Amen. Thank you is right. So again, the number to call, 818-369-0326. We're going to be gone for a few days and probably a good 10 days. We'll see you afterwards. And if you're not able to make the Feast of Tabernacles, we'll do our best again to put some things on every morning, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. We'll try to have something uploaded from the night before. Okay. And I don't know, everybody's awfully shy or quiet right now. They're listening,
either.
But they're not
calling
in. I don't understand.
But I do want to say that, you know, seeing the videos, I'm just praising God for that opportunity. However, when you come together and you're in the realm of touching one another, the Holy Spirit moves. You're a light, I'm a light. When we pull together, that light becomes a bonfire of deliverance. So please consider being there. It's going to be a great time, and you're not going to forget it. We have people that have stayed in our church because they came to the feast, and they saw what was being done there. And we give thanks that God has given us this mandate. I want my feast celebrated. Not Israel's feast, God's feast.
Amen and amen. And again, I want to go out by simply saying this. I hope you're hungry, and I hope you're thirsty for the presence, for the kabod, for the doxa, for the glory. I hope that as you come up to Father God's feast and you begin to present yourself to Him, it's with cheer, it's with joy, and it's with a coming home kind of feeling. We're all going through it out there, folks. Every single one of us daily, we have to live this out and walk this out. You've been living out your faith for years. You've been walking out your faith for years. You've had to go through trials. You've had to get cleaned up. You've had to get adjusted. You've had to get things worked out. You've had to go through a lot. This walk is not for the faint-hearted. It's really not a crutch for people that are weak. This walk, the real walk, the true walk of a believer, is a daily working out and a becoming. Remember, God gave power to become the sons of God in nature and character, to develop spiritual muscles, to be strong, to have wisdom, have eagle eye, have discernment. There's so much. But now is a time where God affords an opportunity for His people to gather together for a refreshing, to take care of His flock in a very, very special way. I like what Kevin's saying right now on our chat room. We'll be at full energy for this feast. Hallelujah. So, yes, people have been tired. You know, we live in an atmosphere where the devil tries to wear people out, Patricia, remember? And there's a lot of tiredness. And I would just encourage people this weekend, you know, when the sun sets tonight, enter into a Shabbat if you can. Settle down, rest. We're going to have a minor gathering on Saturday night where we're going to gather together because that's what we love to do. And then after that is completed, we're going to get ready for Sunday. We're going to get ready for Sunday evening for the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles. Patricia, a final word before we go. We've got about a minute and a half.
Thank you. We're watching Damascus unravel. It's happened once before where there was destruction, but it wasn't complete destruction. The prophecy is about complete destruction, which has not yet been fulfilled. And Damascus is one of the oldest continuously inhabited cities on earth, and it has been attacked, besieged, and conquered. but Damascus has never been completely destroyed and left uninhabited. This time it shall be, and that will be the fulfillment of the scripture.
Amen and amen. So what are we saying? Opportunity in the midst of a crisis. It's been good to be with you today. For all you guys on the telephone line that didn't call in, spanka. I know you have something to share. I know you do. I probably hear from people when I hang up on the phone. They always call afterwards. But anyways, we love you. We bless you. May God direct your spirit into a place where he's got something planned for you. He's got a gift for you, an impartation for you. So make sure you show up at the Feast of Tabernacles somewhere. We certainly are waiting for you to come right here to Northwest Arkansas. God bless everybody. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministry. To our friends on Facebook, shalom. To our friends in Omega Radio Land, there's a roundtable discussion going on right now at Roundtable. Here we go on omegaradio.org. God bless everybody. Shalom. Have a super blessed 10 days.